Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Pocket Buds, a back pocket podcast where I talk to my best buds about video games and stuff. This week, I'm talking about Karate Man. But first, let's take a trip back to the 80s. The 80s, a totally tubular moment in time where vivid leotards were in, big hair was all the rage, rollerblading from A to B was considered normal, and women still thought they had a chance with George Michael. It was also a time where all sorts of new technologies and ways to use these new technologies were coming out of the woodwork. The 80s saw the release of classic titles such as Pac-Man, Super Mario Bros., Tetris, and SimCity, and those were only some of the big ones. Another big game released in the 80s was Kung Fu Master, developed by iRem for arcade machines and released in 1984. Its arcade release was a roaring success, which led to its port for the Nintendo Entertainment System in 1985. The game is not only regarded as one of the first fighting games of its kind, but was also designed by Takashi Nishiyama, who would go on to direct Street Fighter and The King of Fighters. But earlier that year, there was Karate Champ, developed by Technos Japan. Where Street Fighter and The King of Fighters had Kung Fu Master, games like Yi Ah Kung Fu, The Way of the Exploding Fist, and Mortal Kombat looked to Karate Champ for inspiration in the fighting genre. If you look at Karate Champ and Kung Fu Master today, they're obviously very simple compared to what we see around us in this day and age. 2023 has seen new and critically acclaimed additions to both the Street Fighter series and the Mortal Kombat series, with a new Tekken game set to release early 2024. And these games look crazy, right? They're arguably visual spectacles, with Mortal Kombat looking so good on most platforms that I get a little dizzy seeing some of the fatalities, and I got so desensitized watching all the Saw movies back to back that I started focusing on the story, which then made me stop watching them entirely. However, the way that Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter games function, both visually and in terms of gameplay, have come very, very far since those early days in the 80s. Not just that, but both series also have a stronger focus on story than they used to. Suddenly, we're not only seeing a guy get his spine ripped out of his body, but we're learning about who the literally spineless guy really was. That being said, modern fighting games rarely let you take a look into the lives of fighters when they're not fighting. Surely punching isn't paying the bills, right? Why don't we ever see a fighting game character use the bathroom or do their laundry? At this point, it's pretty difficult to do anything new in video games. You can also say the same thing about the comedy world too. No joke is original, really. What's the deal with that? But there is something new that I got the chance to see live. Something that is both video games and comedy, and not in a Bubsy way. Enter Karate Man. Karate Man is an interactive staged comedy show where the hero, Karate Man, is controlled by a wireless video game controller that the audience shares. The audience controls Karate Man through scenarios such as commuting to work, convincing his wife not to leave him, drinking water, fluffing pillows, hailing a cab, and of course, fighting. Despite what one may think, this is a video game. It's got the world's most realistic graphics because it is real. There is a player in the audience, a controller that is used to control, and a character on stage that is responding to the controller's buttons being pressed by the audience member. It's a video game. But it's also a live comedy show. The sketch comedy group Beak has created Karate Man as a show that uses both scripted scenarios and improvisation, with both presented in the hopes of a chuckle, a laugh, and or a guffaw. And similarly to a game with procedurally generated content, no two Karate Man playthroughs are truly the same. It's easily one of the most fascinating gaming experiences I've ever had, as well as one of the most enjoyable comedy shows I've been to. To learn more about Karate Man, I got the chance to talk to its two creators, Bruno Dubosarski and Daniel Scarrett. Enjoy!
I'm Bruno.
And I'm Dan.
And this is Pocket
Podcast, damn it.
This is Podcast.
This is Podcast.
Damn
Welcome
it.
To Podcast.
We're so close.
Yeah, great. That's all laughs. That's all very funny. You guys are really funny. And that makes sense because, boy, oh boy, you are comedians. What I want to know is how did you guys meet and start doing sketch comedy together?
Oh, yeah, what a great question.
Thank you.
I met Bruno when I was running the stand at university for the Simpsons Society at the University of Sydney. We're called the No Homers Club. And we actually did have one Homer.
There was an honorary Homer.
There was one honorary Homer, which is crazy because
his name was actually Homer.
It was, yeah.
Oh,
he
was?
Came up and he was like, "Can I join?" And we were like, "Actually, you can. We don't have one."
You're our first.
One Homer's Club.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's no Homer's. But yeah, Bruno was, he was like one of the first members of that club. And I don't think we really knew each other that well when he was just like in the Simpsons Society. But that's definitely, I remember seeing him because he wore like a full suit to O Week.
I was one of those suit guys.
He was a suit guy.
Oh, like you wore like a suit to uni?
Not a rich suit guy, like a, you know, like Salvo's suit guy.
Yeah.
Because I was just what? Like, ooh, it's what feels comfortable to me.
Really?
I know. I did it in high school too. Like for you.
And it was comfortable. Like physically.
That was
comfortable.
It. I think I just wanted to cover up my body. I just wanted to.
Oh no.
That's pretty great. You know?
But then as I started making friends, there was a day that I walked into my bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I just said out loud without thinking, I shouldn't wear suits. And then I was like, huh?
Hold on.
What is it?
You
it's one of those like
enough.
Mirror conversations. Yeah, you are enough.
Yeah.
You take that suit off. I had a whole montage.
You point directly in the mirror like, you're a hot slut.
Yeah, exactly.
Get naked, you son of a bitch.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. I started wearing other clothes. Yes, for the win.
Slay.
And then I think it was years later, maybe not years, maybe 1 year later.
All right.
We found ourselves in an improv group for the university's improvised theater sports stuff that happened at lunch, and there was like a competition, and we put together a team, and our kind of angle was that none of us were improvisers.
We didn't go to jams or whatever.
Nothing. Yeah. Didn't jams. Train. Yeah, it's like a little practice.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like how they have game jams. They also have improv jams.
It's kind of like a game jam for your audience. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, anyway, then we didn't really know what we were doing. And we just sort of put ourselves in a lot of situations where there are other people improvising very well. And we just set ourselves up to fail in a way that we thought people would find funny.
Yeah. Like make games that are really complicated, that are like super layered. It's been our thing from the offset is like, let's make things really hard for ourselves and let people watch us suffer and revel in it.
And we really are still doing it.
Yeah.
Especially
with
this show.
Do it this day.
With this show, speaking of, when did you guys kind of first come up with Karate Man? And I mean, what did the idea look like at the start?
It started because we've been doing sketch shows like almost like annually, like from like 2016 to 2019, 2020 kind of thing. Just like hour-long sketch shows at Sydney Fringe Festival. And then I think like we were always doing these like layered choice-based sketches that like affect the whole show and stuff like that, like in a small way, in a small scale. Yeah. And then I think Dan's brother, Liam, maybe it was Liam who had the idea for like a sketch called Karate Man. Do you remember this, Dan?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Liam, typically the vibe in our group is we have this guy, my brother Liam, and he'll say an idea and we'll all be like, we can't do that. That's crazy. And then after a little while, we're like, wait a second. Maybe it's not so crazy. And I feel like this was one of those. Although I think like Liam really just came up with the idea that we should do a sketch called Karate Man and that it should have something to do with a guy who just does karate. Mm. Bruno really sort of took that idea and ran with it initially, prototyping it into what would be sort of like a sketch in a show that we did a few years ago.
Yeah, like it was sort of a prototype of like I think I was just like thinking about this Karate Man of like oh, some sort of sketch where a guy does karate. It kind of sounds like a video game. What if I got like an Xbox controller and was just thinking about like, yeah, it's like, oh, if you Bluetooth each button to like a keyboard, a soundboard, and then that to a soundboard, you can give it to the audience and make sounds out of it. Maybe they can like do like a song or something. And then I thought about it being like specifically like, oh, I mean, like you use a video game controller to play a video game. What are some video game buttons? And then I just like, I think maybe I met it with you, Dan, or Jacob, another member of our group, and just like check this out. And I set up the laptop, I give them the controller, and then I just sort of stand up there kind of doing like the Ryu Street Fighter idle stance animation. And it's like, press a button, play around with it. And I just like did what they did, or what they inputted.
Like they'll press a button and then you hear a voice that's Bruno recording his own voice. That's like, punch, and then Bruno has to punch. So he's just essentially listening for sound cues. But yeah, the whole controller thing was pretty nuts because at the time, and even to be honest still, our tech stack is pretty shonky. And you know, you're taking these shows to like, you know, it we did a whole like, I think we did like 20 shows in Edinburgh last year, but we were in like the back room of like some pub.
It's a whiskey pub.
They don't have like a proper sound desk. Like, you know, you're dealing with all these sort of whack setups. So it was a pretty, at the time, crazy idea to be like, oh, let's, you know, write a sketch that's extremely dependent on like the technology working really well. It's still a little scary, actually. But yeah, it's come a long way in terms of that stuff as well.
What went into kind of the development of using the controller as like an almost audience prop? Like, how did you get it right, and what went wrong?
There was a lot of testing over that, wasn't there? Like
we literally, I think when we first floated the idea, we were like, you know, I think probably a good theme that's happened throughout the entire thing is Bruno's always been like the guy who's like, we can do this, and I've always been the guy who's like, people are gonna like mess with this a lot. Like people are just gonna screw with it a lot, and I think we've found a really nice balance with it where, yeah, initially, people do really just make Bruno do random shit. And like when it's just a sketch, it's just like they make him run. At one point, he had to run out of the room in Edinburgh because he just kept pressing left so many times that he went all the way left and exited the stage. And that's, you know, but actually just running it a lot of times, we found out all these little things like, oh, we can add a little bit of padding around when the sound plays so that it sort of staggers the inputs so that it's not as like satisfying to mash the button.
Yeah, we put like half a second of silence before my voice says punch. So if you keep pressing the punch button, you just keep like repeating the half second of silence so that like we don't just hear
or like it doesn't stack
ever.
The sound, like we had to play around a lot with like how the button toggles the sound and like literally what is that behavior to make it more conducive to, like we want people to mess with it, but we also want it to be like the audience is all in on it. It's not just like one person being self-indulgent and everyone else hating that person has the controller.
The problem is it's really funny when something sounds wrong.
Yes.
And so from your experience of kind of putting on the show, at what point did you find people like during the show wanting to actually complete the game that is happening before them like the most? You know what I mean?
There's a real blend of people in the audience, generally speaking. There's a blend of people who like don't really play video games because they're just coming to see a comedy show. Some people are just like, this will be fun. Or they're there with a friend who really want to come and see it. So there's, or they're just like Bruno's parents, right? There's people in the audience who don't necessarily know how to do a video game, and they sort of just end up mashing the controls. Like if you played fighting game for the first time, you'd just be like mashing buttons. And so that there's that we have to account for. But then there's people who are just like thinking about it as a game and not as a show as much, and they're just like complete the objective. And then there's people who are like, this is a show. I want to play and make jokes with the character. I want to make him do funny stuff.
Usually it will be a comedian who's like trying to fuck with me. Like it's that sort of, it's the vibe of like, you know, if you, if you bring up an audience member to just talk to and they kind of like think they're top shit and start being like, well, professor, like I am a character and I have a lot of things going on. And it's like, it's not the joke, but it kind of works here because if they fuck with me, that's me doing it. So like it's entertaining for everyone.
It's interesting because there is a part of the show's runtime depends on people like not doing everything clean straight away. I think in a lot of ways we encourage that sort of fun by presenting situations that, you know, are just really fun to mess with because the objective isn't actually in and of itself very cool. You know, it's like, oh, you know, push this lawnmower from like across the stage. And there's like a couple of little things to make that fun, but we expect people to, you know, goof around with it a little bit. Yeah. So it's really about like how you set them up in that particular scene. And there's also to be, you know, like something else to offset that is that there are scenes in the show which are like cut scenes where they can't control the characters. And so we can do something that's a little bit more polished and scripted. Which helps offset the insaneness and keep the show on track.
How long was Karate Man kind of in? I want to say development because it's funny to me. But how long was it in development before you started testing it out on stage?
It is like
it's kind of like
a little indie game, but our engine is like live theater. I don't know, there's something really cool about that.
Well, it kind of is it is a game.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing where it's an experience that you can only have at your shows, but it technically is a game. I had it like that.
Yeah.
I saw it in Da Flesh. And I took a game dev friend with me to see it, and he's like, it is a game. Like, it's a weird thing, but it's a game.
Was this Shigeru Miyamoto?
Right next to me was Miyamoto-san himself.
Damn. Oh my God. And he said that? Wow. Yeah, no. Well, look, I think we totally thought about it as a game. Bruno and I have written, especially with the others as well, like half a dozen shows. And this one felt really different because so much of what we're doing was, so much of the show is not scripted, right? Like so much of the show is they have to make the show fun. And so it's like, how do we create not only like ways for this to be funny, but also like this is the control set where he punches and kicks and moves around. Like how many ways can we make this something that's fun that also doesn't involve him like fighting anybody? Because we really only fighting is like the tutorial level, like, you know, you punch and kick some goons, but we really wanted the rest of the show to be like, even though he can only punch and kick, he's got to do like a bunch of menial tasks, or he's got to live a normal life, or well, not really a normal life, but you know, he's got to do stuff that doesn't involve fighting.
That's like sort of like narratively speaking, but it's also like that element of we came at like each scene with like what would be like a fun game for this kind of game engine, basically, where it's like it would be fun to like make me move around and like pick stuff up or like catch things or like do a rhythm game, or like we did come at it like almost like a bit of a WarioWare kind of element of like a variety. Like we just came up, we have a spreadsheet of like 100 sort of vague mini game ideas and picked things that sort of best fit with the narrative or like what seemed the most fun to do.
I feel like we also took a lot more, like we were talking about games the whole time, like in terms of inspiration. More so than
Undertale,
we
were. I mentioned all the fucking time.
Big Undertale fan.
Undertale mentioned. Undertale, yeah.
We did it. Another episode of the podcast.
I think Undertale's been mentioned a number of times in this podcast, and Hello Kitty Island Adventure, I think, has popped up in maybe like three or four episodes. Yeah. I believe that. I believe it. Well, I mean, like that's a question I've got. What were some of your inspirations other than, you know, what you've mentioned, WarioWare, Undertale?
I think it's interesting because even though fighting games massively inspired the look and feel of Karate Man, I think we ended up thinking about really different stuff when we got into, like, we were thinking about fighting games when we made the original sketch that basically ends up being the tutorial of the show, which is like,
yeah,
defeat the goons and then defeat Ross Roundkick. And we're really trying to go for like a double dragon Street Fighter type thing.
Very beat 'em up sort of thing.
But then the actual show, we were like, well, that's only like 5 minutes. And then we can't really have you just beating people up because it's not really going to be a fun or funny show. So then we started looking at lots of other places. Like Bruno and I are big fans of the Phoenix Wright series.
Yeah.
Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door. I feel like we spoke about that a few times.
Yeah.
I think Paper Mario is a very interesting case in kind of Nintendo's Mario history, because it's arguably the funniest series out of all Mario games. The Paper Mario series is easily where they put the most of their comedy chops, and they had no business doing it. Like, they didn't. It's kind of for no reason.
Yeah,
I think like people in Nintendo didn't like that in that game they had like identifiable characters that were made from the sort of like goon type enemies. Like, I think that was actually kind of like a branding problem or something. That and so like they for the longest time, like forget about that game. Yeah,
so sad. But
well, it's a very interesting thing with Super Mario RPG, which the Paper Mario series got a lot of inspiration from. In the original game, Mario would put up a peace sign and at the camera.
They're taking that out of the new one.
And they're taking it out because apparently Miyamoto fucking hates it.
Your friend?
Come on.
Damn. You were like, at the show, like, dude, you got to put the peace sign in. And he's like, no.
He's like, I hate that shit. Apparently it's because like he thinks it makes Mario look too cute.
Mario's not cute. He's cool, like Chris Pratt.
He's cool. He's serious.
He's conservative.
One serious guy. An Italian will never be adorable. That is what Shigeru Miyamoto said. And we're like, whoa, you can't say that, man.
Damn.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up when you think about it.
That is kind of fucked up. If I was like Mussolini
is cute?
Yeah. You tell me, saying? You know, if I was like a mustachioed Italian gentleman, I'd be so upset about that.
Yeah.
Guy.
And he's putting the peace up sign up on me.
You fucking kidding?
Yeah.
I will never see Tony Soprano do that. So in what world would I see Mario do that?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's probably what he was thinking.
probably exactly
thinking about
what
the Sopranos.
He just finished like a full watch through of the Sopranos. And he's like, I've got an idea. We're bringing Super Mario RPG back, but we have to make this guy less fucking adorable.
I got this change. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to make him grittier. Maybe
exactly.
He should be the head of some kind of mob.
maybe. But what I wanted to ask was,
because
you mentioned this spreadsheet of mini games that you had, and I kind of want to know, was there anything that you had to leave on the cutting room floor from Karate Man that you really wanted to keep, but you know that it just wouldn't work in the final product?
I think the one that jumps out the most is the one where we wanted him to serve his wife divorce papers.
we were thinking there's no way we
can do this because the story just took a really different direction.
We were thinking of like an item system or something where like you know, you could pick up divorce papers and you could either like serve them to your wife, or you could like pocket them and then like later in the show like beat Ross Roundkick by serving him divorce papers or something. it was quite a layered thing that like I mean, we didn't really develop the item system, and I don't think we will, because it's like, I don't know, it's a lot. Maybe for
practically, it's really hard as well.
Yeah, like we for Fringe, we needed to get something out on a like, you know, it was almost like a beta basically. Like what we're doing, we're doing our show again in November in a couple days tomorrow.
Wow, we were.
Yeah, I'm gonna hear this.
with a lot of polish, a lot more polish to it, a lot more of a 1.0 sort of vibe, if you will.
But I think something else that was really significant that we didn't end up doing, that we got quite far along with, was there was this idea which didn't end up making it, that like the final fight, like a second controller that controls Ross Roundkick goes into the audience. And we were really obsessed with that idea. We even made another controller. So like the original controller that you pass around is purple, like Karate Man's gear. And we made an orange version of that controller. Like, I painted two Bluetooth SNES controllers. And we were just like, oh, it's actually, if you think about it, going to be a nightmare if you're not like controlling the characters. You're just hearing the sounds of two people's voices saying up, down, left, punch, punch. And we're like, it's just going to be a mess.
Mashing,
it's not gonna work.
For sure.
Yeah, totally. Heaps of mashing.
Oh, so yeah. And there's a good chance you'd have one person in the crowd who's using one controller and knows exactly what they're doing. And then an old person in the crowd who has the other controller.
Yeah.
And what if it's
going
Karate
down,
Man?
Down, 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 down.
He's a pissed exactly
through.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
What's been your favorite part of kind of putting this all together?
I've been going nuts with it in terms of, like, you know, we did a big photo shoot and I'm like, you know, looking at these photos and, like, you know, doing a little integrated graphics and all this stuff. I'm just like spending like all my time thinking about this show, like in an obsessive sort of way. It's healthy. But like then I'm thinking of it like I'm doing all this prep, and then when it's showtime, something that I kind of love about it is that, like, this is like the first like comedy show that we've done where I'm not like stressed about it at all, like while it's happening, because like everyone else has lines to learn, has blocking to know, has all the stuff. I just do what I'm told during the show. Like a lot of people have gone up to me and be like, "Whoa, you must be really fit." It's like, that's really exhausting stuff. And I'm like, it's like mentally like the most relaxing performance of my life. And I get so much fucking praise for it too. They're just like, "Hey, this guy's so funny." It's like, I didn't do shit. I didn't do fucking
you
shit.
You just did what everybody else told you to do.
Yeah.
You did it, you idiot.
But it's interesting because, like, you've got to have crazy stamina, right?
But like, I don't know. Like I used to go on runs and then I stopped and then I started doing it a bit again to train for the show in a way. But like,
you,
I don't know.
I
was swimming for a while and then I stopped, and then that's my whole health, my life's health is a lot of stopping and stuff.
Do you think, like, swimming plays like a huge role in Karate Man?
Would you say massive role?
Yeah. I'd say
a critical role, even.
Hey.
I would say without the ocean, Karate Man wouldn't exist.
Wow. You know?
That's so true. Yeah.
Brave.
Yeah.
Brave.
Would any of us exist without the ocean?
Whoa. Okay. Now I'm scared. Mm.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that.
We all used to be fucked up little fish men, and one thing led to another, and now we're doing a podcast over the internet. So,
still fucked up though.
Did we regress? Maybe.
Yeah,
possibly.
Should we go back to ocean? Perhaps.
Can we go?
I think eventually we're not gonna have a choice, right? Ocean's coming to us.
Ocean's coming back, baby.
Yeah, in a big way too.
We missed you. Come back.
Yay!
Come
back. Ocean's back.
Did you
enjoy we're so back. Oh god. So, like, impending doom, how do you guys feel about that?
Well, I think it helps to make silly little shows, you know. I think that really helps me stave off the I don't know, whatever, you know.
It fills in all my spare time that I could be lamenting the future of the world. I just think about punching and kicking and jumping and up.
That's so fair. Well, speaking of video games, because this is technically a video game podcast, and I've been on many a video game podcast where the problem is that we stop talking about video games. And what a travesty.
Can't do that. Can't do that.
Yeah, you have to keep talking about video games. I throw up.
Ugh. Yeah, that's got to be a tough gig for you doing this podcast.
Oh, that's all that puke behind you.
Don't look at that.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, audio listeners.
Don't look at it.
But there's huge pile.
I've vomited so much, and it's just because I get nervous. The thing, do you want to hear a funny story? My dad told me a funny story.
I want to hear
to that.
Absolutely, funny.
No, go please.
I hate funny stories. no, but the funny story was I went over to my parents' place yesterday because I needed to go with my mammy to buy a dress for a wedding. And before I went, I was hanging out with my dad. And he told me in the early days of them living in that house, because him and his buddies built that house. In the early days, they didn't have, let's just say, like, the proper amenities to keep a house from getting robbed.
Oh, interesting.
You know, it made the house very easy to rob back in the day. Things have been changed, thankfully.
Are you talking about things like locks?
They put doors.
Things like gates and
gates.
And just stoppages. You know,
nice.
A sphinx. three riddles.
You gotta have one of those up front.
Yeah, like a house troll. puts a curse on whoever comes in if they don't answer the riddles three, or give him a golden doubloon.
They're hard to get.
I love those.
They really are, but you know they were pretty. They weren't as hard to get back then, which made a good way to kind of have security in the house. Now that's just phone. Anyway, so it was a house that was easy to rob, right? So in the early, I think within like a week or two of them living there, and I was baby at this point, we got robbed twice. And the first time, I think they just took my mum's bag, right? Like her handbag. They came into the house.
Just the bag.
They took her bag and then ran out.
Damn, wow.
And the second time they took one of my dad's trumpets, but then they like ditched
multiple trumpets.
My dad's a trumpet guy. He's a trumpet player. And so he has multiple trumpets.
Yeah,
so you're like trumpet guy instead of like trumpet. Like before you said trumpet player, I was like, wait, does he play them? He's a trumpet guy.
He just likes them. He's a trumpet player. And they took the trumpet and the case that it was in, but then like went up the street and like ditched the trumpet and kept the case.
This case,
because they probably just put their like Tommy guns into.
Yeah, their Tommy gun. That's it.
It looks like a gun case. But anyway,
I found just the thing. Yeah.
The trumpet story isn't important. It's the bag story that's important. Because in this story, my dad and my mom had fallen asleep on the couch, and the bag was right next to my mom on the couch. So they were fast asleep, and this person managed to come in and just take the bag and leave so quietly. But there were, apparently there was still a whole heap of shit down the side of the house because my dad was still building it. And so this guy tripped over some of it. And so that woke my dad up and he was like, oh
my God.
Oh,
like
what happened?
Metal Gear Solid. Like,
yeah.
Like,
was that noise? I guess it was nothing.
And then my mom woke up and she's like, where's my bag? And my dad's like, oh, and he runs out the house and starts to see like a trail down the road of things from my mom's bag.
Oh my God, cartoonish.
And so he's running down the street picking these things up, and he's so angry, and so stressed that he just vomits in the sidewalk.
What?
Like,
what?
So overcome with emotion that he just goes,
Oh my God.
And holy crap.
If that guy was chasing me, I'd be shitting myself.
I would be so scared.
If guy was chasing me, he was so mad he threw up. I'd be like,
vomiting
guy
is coming after me.
He's also like 6 foot something and a carpenter and Scottish.
Oh, damn. So, like, Harrison Ford.
Scary.
Yeah.
And so, like,
my God.
Wow, kind of
that,
like Jesus.
Like, yeah. Relating a Jesus, like a carpenter, like Jesus. That's right.
A Scottish carpenter, like Jesus.
Scottish carpenter, like Jesus.
Back when I was still dating, and people would ask the age old question of what do your parents do for some fucking reason.
That's a weird question.
I'd always say a carpenter, just like Jesus, and they'd either go haha, or they would go, oh, are you Catholic? And I'm like, I have guilt.
So, so it could be Jewish.
Yeah. So guess. Yeah.
So guess. Guess my religion.
And sometimes I get Jewish.
You do?
And yeah.
Jewish people don't think I'm Jewish, and I am Jewish. So it's like, damn.
There you go.
And what does that have to do with that?
Like, what do I do? So funny.
I'm trying my best.
Yeah, it's because you're so funny. I'm kind of like a fake part Jewish because my dad's mom was Jewish. Okay. So technically my dad's Jewish, but he doesn't practice. He's an atheist. It's on my dad's side, so it doesn't count.
Well, that's me basically. That's why Jewish people didn't think I'm Jewish, because my dad is Jewish and he's pretty Jewish. But
he's pretty Jewish.
He's pretty Jewish. And I'll let you picture it. I'll let your audience picture it. Well, that's just sorry. He's Bruno.
I'll let you imagine my dad. Hint, he's very Jewish.
He's quite Jewish. That's all you need to know.
Awesome. That rocks. That's really cool. But yeah, the moral of the story is it seems like furious, emotion-filled vomiting runs in my family. And that's why my background is covered in vomit. Something that isn't even real that we just made up on the spot that I decided to tell a whole story about. That's true.
And tobacco. We were trying to talk about video games, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were. Like,
we were.
Remember that scenario that you just heard about? what is that scenario you just heard? That all took place in a little game I like to call Dark Souls.
And my dad was actually the big monster that you fight in the end.
When he was on the street throwing up, a health bar appeared at the bottom of the screen with his name on it.
There we go. And then he's just furiously throwing his fists around. They're filled with vomit. And
even after you're dead,
that sounds
he's still
good.
Swinging them over your dead body.
Yeah, so, speaking of video games, have you guys been playing anything recently?
I, wasn't playing anything for a while because I was so focused on the show. And I feel I'm a big Nintendo guy, but I bought Spider-Man 2.
Wow.
Oh.
I know. I'm like, and Mario Wonder, I was so hyped for. But for some reason, I was like, I want to play, the graphics.
the graphics. I'm straight up going to go buy Mario Wonder after this. Because I'm like, what? It's such a fun game.
It looks so fucking
so fun. It's so fun.
I want to play it.
I have been playing a lot of... I've been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate. Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, yeah, not one. Yeah.
It's so much fun. And it's also really because we're working on Karate Man a little bit at the moment as well. And it's really nice to see a game where they really are you choose something and you've chosen it. Like it closes as more doors than it opens when you make a choice. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty metal of them to make a game like that.
People keep telling me about their experiences with Baldur's Gate 3 in the sense of they're like, I made the active decision to talk to a rat and it just completely changed my entire game.
Totally.
So I'm like, okay, huh.
Yeah, every now and then I play with my girlfriend Gloria, and every now and then she always remembers that you can talk to animals and dead bodies, and I never remember that you can do it. So every now and then she'll be like, we'll be stuck, and she'll be like, why don't we talk to this dead body? And I'll be like, oh yeah, we could just talk to the dead body. It's great.
Yeah.
Can you do that in Spider-Man?
Yeah. Can you talk to Uncle Ben?
Sorry, I'm going through a tunnel.
That's what it sounds like.
Spider.
I bet that's a really good audio experience.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The listeners will love it.
Yeah.
Please keep it in.
Oh, I'm keeping everything in. Even the part that you said, don't keep it in.
Oh, shit.
I'm just going to keep it in.
That's perfect. So an easy edit,
Absolutely. But what's your experience with Spider-Man been like?
It's good. It's that sort of thing, kind of similar to Ratchet and Clank game. I think that the one on PS5 was it was really good, but it's one of those things where it's it's just more of the one they did before, which is also great. I shouldn't complain about that. There's just an element of it's cool. There's a lot going on. It's very Sony. It's very cutscene and QuickTime events and all that stuff. That there's a part of me that's this is time that I could be playing a game instead of pressing a couple buttons during a cutscene. When I played Spider-Man Miles Morales, I finished that game and then Metroid Dread came out and I played that and I was like, oh shit, this game is a game the whole time. And it's so fun, off from the offset. Well, I don't know. I can watch a movie if I want to watch movies. And I will.
You could watch Spider-Man. Famously, got a bunch of movies.
Yeah. I think it's one maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe one. Man, you're in that game and it's and Spider-Man 2, huh? New York again.
And I think what's really interesting about the Spider-Man games in comparison to the Spider-Man movies is with the Spider-Man movies, you're being shown Spider-Man and what he would do in a situation. But in the game, you're being shown Spider-Man and being asked, what would you do in this situation? And I think that's really interesting what video games can do.
Yeah, that's true. Because if it was up to me, Uncle Ben would still be alive.
Yeah.
You wouldn't let that happen.
That was a choice.
I wouldn't have signed up as a wrestler.
You're the Mark Wahlberg on the 9/11 flight.
That's right.
Of the Spider-Man universe. Hey, Ruby.
But the problem is like, I think about that a lot, actually. I think about Mark Wahlberg and 9/11 quite a lot.
On the daily.
I think what gets me is like, one.
You wake up at 4 a.m., think about Mark Wahlberg on the 9/11 flight.
I come up, I'm sweating. I'm about to throw up from
just from emotion.
Fuck. But what gets me is like, one, that's an insane thing to say. Two, yeah. I kind of commend someone saying that despite it being someone so insane. Three, my problem with hypothetical Mark Wahlberg stopping the very real 9/11 is without 9/11, My Chemical Romance would not exist. And that was something that I needed to become a well-rounded teenager.
That's true.
With severe mental illness. So like,
but imagine if, but what could have happened? There could have been all sorts of other plus sides, you know? Like, imagine what it would have been like as a teenager if world trade wasn't interrupted.
You know? There was no hub for world trade.
Imagine if there was a hub for world trade that whole time. Maybe you wouldn't have needed My Chemical Romance, you know?
With your experience with, you know, Baldur's Gate 3 and Spider-Man 2, your experiences with them, it's so fine if the answer to this question is just no. But did you find yourself at any point playing those games and going like, oh, that could be like a funny thing to include in Karate Man, or we could build a sketch out of this or something like that?
Yeah, I think maybe something that has been not necessarily like Baldur's Gate 3 was the only inspiration for it, but something that, you know, I was talking to one of my friends who saw Karate Man but also was playing Baldur's Gate 3, and something that was kind of a cool, something that we're trying to play with is like giving people a little bit of an idea of sort of what they didn't choose, not necessarily spoiling it, because you know, for context, you could see the show a bunch of times and there's different stuff that happens based on what you choose, like straight up it's like a lot more than you can see at once. But yeah, it was like, oh well, if you don't pick a particular option, it would be nice if there was some reference to what you didn't pick, so that people are thinking like, oh wow, yeah, there's like all kinds of consequences. Because I think in Baldur's Gate they do such a good job of you realizing way later that something that you did or didn't do has had this, like, not like a huge impact on your main story, but there's like a ripple effect. And it's really, really interesting when you see that kind of thing. And it's fun to think about as well, as someone who's like making the experience. Anything about Spider-Man, Bruno?
I don't know. Like, I think there's probably
a web-slinging?
There's probably a funny sketch in the idea of like someone like playing a game, being like, this game's not that good, I fucking hate this game, and 100%ing it like in 2 weeks. Because I think like that was me with the first game. I was like, this game's nothing. But I played the whole fucking thing. I wanted to finish it. I don't know what it is.
That's an insane thing I see. Like. No, and I hate to say it, but I think it is insane. So you're insane.
Being honest with you.
No, but it's so interesting to see people play hundreds of hours of a game that they're later like, yeah, I didn't like that much. Because like, I don't know, I think in my mind, I'm like, I never want to spend more than 10 minutes on something I don't like. And that's in general. Mm. Like, you won't catch me doing anything for longer than 10 minutes if I am not enjoying it.
I think you gotta get on Steam and you gotta read the reviews that people have of like Dota 2, where it's like, this game sucks, stupid game, it's so bad. And then it's like, you look at their profile, it's like, they've played 800 hours of Dota 2. Like, come on, my guy.
I have multiple friends, like friends I can count on two hands that have thousands of hours on Dota.
Yeah, same.
And I'm like, what is it? What is it that kind of does it for them? And every single time they're like, yeah, it's good. It's just like changed throughout the years, which I think is really good. I'm like, you are saying such like base level, like really broad things. Like, it's good. Yeah. Like, it's, it keeps growing. But it also stays the same.
What are you, like a shareholder?
Yeah. Very unemotional. Yeah.
But what are you doing it? So you're kind of just like, so you've got like your group, and it's like, okay, well, I'm already bored. Is there a story?
A lot of it is just like clicking on something at the exact right time. And then I would say, like, I only played a little bit. Hey, so don't roast me if you're a listener and you know he's about Dota 2. But my vibe of it was just like, spend 80% of your time clicking at the exact right time and not messing it up and being better at clicking at the right time than the other guy. And then the next 20% is like, understand the economy of the shop system in like excruciating detail. Yeah.
Well, I think like that's what kind of gets me about Dota 2 is like, I have a lot, like anytime I remember that it's made and published by Valve, like I stop and I'm like, oh, that explains so much. That explains so much about why it still exists to this day. And also why Valve still exists to this day.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Because like they can get away with making two games in a series and then not touching it, or touching it but on a completely different platform that most people do not have.
Yeah. $5,000 platform.
Or going like, consider this. What if we released a console, but only some?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really do.
You can't all have it. Mm-hmm.
You silly Australians.
Yeah, it's like, you want a Steam Deck? Not you. No,
my dear child.
I'm like, how do they get away with that? And then I remember, oh my God, Dota 2 has 2 million reviews on Steam and that amount to very positive. And it's been out for 10 years and it's still going.
Yep.
Constantly being updated. And it's one of the most popular games in the world.
That checks out.
They can do whatever they want.
Portal.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty good too. So, you know.
Portal slays. That's a big inspo for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, do you think the more comedic games that have come out over the years have had any influence on your performances at all?
I feel like, sorry to bring it back to Undertale and Toby Fox and Deltarune.
You do not need to apologize for talking about Undertale, buddy.
I need to apologize to someone.
yeah.
Because, like, I feel like I bring it up all the time at, like, rehearsals or whatever. Like, I the comedy of that game is next level for me. It's just, like, maybe it was just, oh, the comedy of this is, like, so up my alley compared to any other game I've played. The fact that it's also an amazing game is just icing on the cake. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I get a look every time I bring up Undertale. It's always the same people.
I draw a lot of inspiration from like games I used to play as a kid, and in one particular, so I'm very much responsible at the moment for like the sounds in the show and the audio and the music.
Oh,
backdrops
you
and
pull
stuff.
Some. Obscure shit.
Yeah, like there's a lot of stuff that I really love the music from this game called Mystical Ninja starring Goemon for the Nintendo 64. And that game is actually so funny. And a lot of the way that it's funny is with like really like weird, creepy characters with bizarre music and has like a real cursed vibe that I'm just super into. And so I feel like I try to bring that to the table. A little bit as well.
For sure.
That's beautiful. And now, because we're coming towards the end of the show, which one could say is kind of the start of your show because it's happening tomorrow. So do you want to plug a little bit what you've got coming up?
Yeah, well, so tomorrow, November 11th and November 12th, we're doing Karate Man in Redfern at Improv Theatre Sydney. Karate Man 1.0, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, brought in a new scene, changed some other scenes.
Endings different.
Endings, yeah. We've even like, you can get it for cheaper with like a double pass. If like you could buy tickets to both nights if you were anticipating wanting to see both nights, which I think is a tall order for some people, but for the people who want it.
It is a different show. You can see like a pretty much different show both times. You can try all the different scenes. It's like different characters and stuff.
The only live action video game out there.
That's true.
True. Maybe. We have no competition.
Well, I mean, like, you don't. Like, you don't have any. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, you can't even call, like, what you're doing, like, an FMV. Because, like, it's not. it's not, like, in a game.
Karate
like,
Man on CDI. Yeah.
I mean, that'd be awesome, you know?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't even call it that because, like, it's only live.
Yeah.
So I think, like, what you're doing is very much. In a league of its own, with who was in League of Their Own?
Cardin, a league of their own.
You say that
Madonna,
Madonna, Madugli
was in it. She was. Shit.
I guess you could say that what we're doing is in a league of extraordinary gentlemen.
You could say
I guess
that.
You could say.
And you did. So that's awesome. Oh, God. All right. So thank you so much for joining me. My last question is, are you planning to see the Five Nights at Freddy's movie?
No. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
No.
Not you. No? So it's no. a no from, Zero no from Bruno. No.
Yeah.
Bruno, no from not, Bruno. Not a spooky movie guy?
Nah. I watched Talk to Me. That was sick, but
great movie.
It's just not my genre, like at all.
I'll definitely be seeing Five Nights at Freddy's. I just hope that they make the characters all as sexy as they should be.
Yeah, let's hope they're all big honkers and fat asses.
Yeah,
thank you so much for joining me
I'll
today.
Watch this. Yeah. sick. No, thank you, Ruby, for having us. It's real.
Yeah, thanks so much.
So good. Yeah,
my pleasure.
Love to chat. Love to chat games.
Me when I chat, and I'm putting my thumbs up.
When I'm not chatting.
Whoa.
Thumbs down. Or scared.
Or scared.
Scared face.
Or yeah.
Throwing up, screaming, crying.
And a big thank you to you for listening. If you're liking what you're hearing, why not give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're using? Better yet, why not give us a nice little review or share your favorite review of a public toilet? Here's both. A 5-star review from Dolphin Pants. Great experience. A fantastic experience. However, the toilet paper was only one ply, and I poked a hole through it while wiping. Thank you, Dolphin Pants. And hey, if you really like what you're hearing and you'd like to hear more, consider supporting Back Pocket over on Patreon. If you support us at the silver tier and above, you get access to our bonus episodes. In this week's bonus episode, we're playing Are They Funny or Are They Just a Talking Animal? A podcast activity that sees us rating the quote-unquote comedy relief in video games.
I think the funniest thing in the world about Kelsey Grammer is how much he despises the fucking dog that was on the show.
I talk about that all the time. It's like he's not even acting. He's like, I'm doing my best and I get... Like this dog comes on, he's not even acting. He thinks it's real. Everyone's cheering for him. What the hell?
You can also find us on Twitch, where we've got our main live show every Thursday from 7 p.m. and on TikTok, where we're constantly posting very good stuff for you to cast your big, beautiful eyes on. And then there's the socials a la Twitter and Threads and whatnot, which you're also welcome to get around. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in, and as award-winning comedian and presenter who is known for his larrikin personality and Aussie drawl, Dave Hughes would say... Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.